I know. I got the longest intro in the world, but it still sounds cool. Howdy, howdy. How you guys doing? It's Tuesday night right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. I am your host, Bad Batcast, otherwise known as Rob DeVore, or however you want to say that. And it's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. No Monday night football to contend with. Yay! So here we are, and let me see here. We got a bunch of folks on the line, a bunch of folks in the chat room, and looks like Chuck's on there, in there somehow. He says he's going to be in and out. Chip Gibson, the godfather there, the creator of Kayak Fishing Radio, he's in the Buzzards row there, as is, I'm guessing that's the Hammerhead, Mr. Greg Crisp. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Rob?
So far, so good. I wasn't sure, but I figured you were the only one with the 714 area code in there.
Yep.
Skype is so strange sometimes, but you'll have that. Yep, there's Chuck. Chuck's in the room there, and I'm sure he'll be checking in and out with us. In the chat room there, the big fly man, Mr. Greg Becker. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Good, brother, good.
All right, man. Good to hear you. And this would be the landing crew, Mr. Wheeler calling in. Mr. Wheeler, how you doing? The Mid-Atlantic show tomorrow. What do you got going on tomorrow?
I have special guest Luther Cyphers,
awesome.
Patty of the Yak Attack product.
Good deal.
Line. He's going to come on, talk about, you know, visit poll, some stories about what's coming out next for Yak Attack, what's out now, and,
cool.
You know, his, you know, for a guy like that, I mean, I remember back 2 years ago, him telling us that, you know, he'd go in the shop and take his two kids with him because they always wanted to help him, and he's using, you know, he'd have his kids, you know, just screwing on the tops of the VisiCarbon or attaching the flags or putting them in the bags or something like that. And now he's just moved to a bigger shop, and, you know, he actually has, you know, employees. So you can see how he's progressed, and local hero, I guess you call it, you know, local success story. So definitely want to get him on.
That's cool. Yeah, and the Yak Attack stuff is good stuff, man. So let's get down to business here. We are this is a Bad Batcast Live, and I'm your host, Rob. You can follow my goings-on at the always dreaded abadbatcast.com, also at yakangler.com. And also, I want to throw out a shout-out there to the Paddling Fan on Twitter and Paddling Fan on Facebook. If you're into paddling as much as we are, like that page. They do a good job putting up a website, a Paddling Fan website that's in the works. So make sure that you like the Paddling Fan, because the Paddling Fan always has some nice stuff to say about paddling, and some sort of a nice quote or statistic or something out there that's really interesting, kind of makes you think. So that would be Paddling Fan on Facebook and Twitter. So give them a follow. Let's see what else we have going on this week. This week on my show, we have, let's see, the weekend's kayak adventures. Had a pretty good fishing trip over the weekend. We'll get into that in a little while. Mangrove madness has begun with the slight drop in temperatures. Fish are getting a little bit more active and are in there, starting to head towards their autumn haunts, as it were, and we'll talk about that. Where's the best place, and what's the best, some of the best tactics for autumn fishing, your fall fishing tactics, and get into that. And how do you rig up your GoPro on your kayak? And I'm sure that we'll have several people around that have GoPros. It's all the rage, for taking pictures and filming for, kayak fishing. So, we'll get into that a little bit as we, progress. So I want to hear from you. If you want to give me a call, feel free. Number is 714-816-4727. And I'm excited about it, man. So Without further ado, how is everybody, man? Let's go through Buzzards Row here one time. Mark Wheeler, did you get out fishing this week or last week or whatever?
Yeah, I got out last weekend. Hit this lake, and I'm about 90% sure I'm going to fish during the TKAA tournament this weekend. And it was the perfect, setup. The weekend before, it was sunny and warm. And then this weekend was post-cold front or during a cold front moving through, rainy, cloudy, windy, nasty, really nasty. I'm actually working right now while I'm talking to you on the video I did when I got back in because I forgot my camera in the truck on my tactics and stuff like that. And I've got some pictures that I'm taking from my phone to put on the video, which will be on YouTube, and then I'll post it for tomorrow night's show. Post-cold front, for bass fishing, I do one of many things. Basically, I go start right off the bat by using slow presentation baits, swim baits, suspending jerk baits, spinner baits, big Colorado blades on them. Baits that I don't have to move fast. Bass usually aren't very forgiving in that, in when they're uncomfortable like that. They didn't want it. That was surprising for me, for this lake. And the water temp dropped heavily, and I just could not find the bass. Couldn't buy a bite. I came around the corner on this point, put my can in the water. That's my secret weapon is to test the temperature is my hand. I'll stick it over the side, like, okay, that's pretty cold. Stick it over, oh, that's even colder. And I came right around this point, I put my hand in the water, and it was like bath water. And I went, oh! Started throwing baits, couldn't buy a bite again. I'm like, come on! I could see the bass break
on top. Was that like a warm spring or something?
No, what it was a protected cove off of a point that wasn't getting the wind. And there was it was basically dead calm in this whole 100-yard basin. And it was just, it was perfectly secluded. And I've always got, a rattle trap or crankbait tied onto my rod. I was like, you know what, might as well, because I know they're not going to hit it. First cast, I didn't get two cranks in a snap-in when all of a sudden I get slammed, pulled in a 15-inch bass. And
wow,
I just,
that's awesome.
I basically, for about another 45 minutes, I think I went maybe four casts without catching the bass or hooking up, and I ended up with like 30-some-odd bass in this 100-yard section.
Wow, that's
awesome. How big? The biggest was 19 and a half inches.
Wow, pretty good.
And it went
at least you found
them,
man.
Yeah, 19 and a half all the way down to 7 inches. So... they were all different, which was surprising because usually the bigger bass don't like to have the smaller bass around. But this was a really deep hole with it was, if you could think of bass structure, this whole cove had it. It had lily pad, docks, rocks, trees, a ledge, a point, a boulder. It had two shopping carts that I pulled bass off of. I mean, just, in this whole little section. And I just, now that I found it, and the best thing about it is no boat can get back there. There's a big tree that fell down, and I had to drag my kayak over top of the tree to get to it. So I think this is where I'm going to be my first stop right off the bat. I'm going to head there and see if I can't get a 20-plus-inch bass out of there and seal the deal for the tournament.
Awesome. Now, I have seen, some bass tactics where you go out there and you don't set the hook on them and you just kind of – you kind of pull them up so you could see it and kind of drop the rod tip, and a lot of times they come rolling off of the, so you're not hooking, you're not sore mouthing them before the tournament, You ever hear that?
Yeah, and a lot of guys do that if the tournament is the next day. But a week, bass have the size, the brain the size of a single, planter's peanut, just without the shell.
They ain't smart.
So kind of, what's that?
They ain't smart.
They know what they want. They know that they want to eat, and they know they want to be comfortable, and that's about it. So, you know, there's some other stuff into it, but a week out, it doesn't really matter. I've caught bass, you know, day to day, which were the same bass because they had the same spot on, like, their forehead, or they were missing a pectoral fin or something like that.
Nice.
And I fished 2 or 3 days in a row. You know, and it also tells you, if they're hungry enough, it doesn't matter how sore their mouth is, they're still going to eat. Just depends on what they might want to eat. And
okay.
Most of these bass, you know, were caught right on the side of the mouth, nothing in the top of the mouth. So, you know, that's the joy of running a bait really fast. When they grab a hold of it, you just barely get them with one hook, so.
Well, I'm glad you're getting out on the water, man. I know it was kind of a dry spell for you there for a while, and it's awesome that you get out there, man. It's got to get out there, man. I'm pulling out chest hair if I don't get out at least once a week, you know. Greg, did you get out on the water this week, man? Hammer.
Yeah, I got out.
Hammer time.
I got out on Friday night, went and fished a set of really high current area with some rocks with a bunch of friends, and fished there once before in the daytime. This was the first time at night, and it was a fun trip. There was a lot of current. There was, you know, anywhere from, I guess, average about a 10-knot wind, sometimes a little less, a lot of time a little more, and the wind was blowing right with the current. Cast in soft plastics and got my personal best striped bass at 41 inches. Real big,
awesome.
Fat cow. And
that's pretty awesome. That's a good fish.
Yeah, that's a real nice fish. And, you know, what made it even better was, you know, sitting there casting to it and, you know, having it hit on top water and then having the thing drag me up current and into the wind for, you know, 5-10 minutes or so before getting them to the boat. So it was a good night. Almost everyone that went out there got a 40-plus-inch fish. And
that's great.
It was good.
I've never been on stripers before, so I tell you what, I'll trade you a snook trip for a striper trip.
Anytime.
Cool.
Anytime. You just may want to come up between the months of June and August, because I know how adverse you are to cold weather.
Yes.
And
yes.
By
well,
cold,
even...
I mean anything less than like 85.
Well, yeah, it'll be right. And it you're not too far off, but I'm comfortable in warm weather, man. You know, a lot of people are like, that's too dang hot. But no, I like it. Hotter the better. But your water temperature doesn't get very very warm, so that might be I might be wearing waders in the summertime up there, buddy.
Yeah, well, peak season up here. I think the warmest it ever got this year where I was fishing was like 72, 74 degrees for water temperature. Friday night it was water temperature varied 58 to 62. And the cold front was coming through. So it was a 50 degree night.
See, a lot of times we get like down here in the springs, you know, we have these really what I call cold springs, and they're just these natural air clear, you know, a couple of million gallons a minute or an hour. You know, they're these spring fed rivers, and at the spring heads, you know, you can go there and swim in this air clear water, and it's awesome. But that water is 72 degrees year round, and that is freezing cold to go into for me in the summertime. So, and I love it though, man. I mean, that's like the best place to be in the summertime. So, anybody around, make sure you check out those any of the springs around Florida. You'll be glad you did, especially in the summer. Very awesome for swimming and snorkeling, and just great. Uh-oh, Bev's got some popcorn. Good deal. And Yeah, so yeah, Labor Day weekend for Stripers. There you go. D.D. Olson's asking you about that. Sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, man. So let's get down to Chuck. I don't know if you're in or if you're out. Are you there, buddy? How you doing, man?
Awesome.
Yeah, you got any fishing trips planned?
Yeah, actually. I'm fishing the Indian River Paddle Classic Tournament down in Dee's neck of the woods alongside the Grand Wizard herself, Dee Kaminsky. So
that
should be a good time.
You better not win because that'll be cheating. I said you better not win because that'll be cheating.
Right. Well,
did you
whatever.
See him? So, he was cheating because he went fishing with Dee.
Yeah, well... I'm sure I can do just fine on my own. Dee's going to be there just for moral support.
That's
and,
pretty awesome.
It'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be fun. We had a lot of rain over here today, so actually I fished today. We had a ton of rain this morning, so I was excited, hoping that those little tarpon would be in the ditches up and around the sweet home of Titusville, Florida. Yeah, there you go. But no tarpon to be had. Plenty of poor man's tarpon. Caught more ladyfish on the fly than I will ever know what to do with. And I believe I lost a snook, but I didn't see it, so I'm going to call it another ladyfish, just bigger. But, yeah, that's my plan. That's it.
Well, that's awesome. That sounds like a good – and I hope that – I wish you luck this weekend. And you know me, I if you win, you win, whether Dee was with you or not, man. But I just know how people are going to complain no matter who wins. So, you know,
I don't even care, man. Look, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm
I
not
either.
Paying for the entry fee.
Right.
The entry fee is being taken care of for me, so it's basically just a free fishing tournament for me, so – I'm really mainly just doing it just to kind of be able to network with some folks at the captain's meeting Friday night about and tell them all about Kayak Fishing Radio and try and get them pumped up on all of our shows and, you know, that kind of thing. So, whatever.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good thing to do, man. So, I wish you luck, and that's pretty awesome. So, all right, man. One of the things that we want to talk about this week is, you know, I feel the first strains of autumn. You know, and the thing about being in Florida is the seasonal changes are not as dramatic as they are up north. We don't have any leaf changes. We don't have any, you know, but once you're down here long enough, you can kind of tell, you can feel it. You know, the sun is in a different position in the sky. The temperature kind of starts dropping a little bit. And we had a couple of days, probably about 3 or 4 days with a lot lower temperatures. And that in turn drops the water temperatures. A little bit less rain lately and everything, so the water's a little bit cleaner. But the fish, I've noticed, are starting to get back into their what I call transitional places where, you know, it's not quite fall yet, so they're not quite, you know, transitioning towards their winter haunts. But they're sort of starting to, you know, they feel it too. There's been about a 6-degree water temperature difference in the last week or so. You know, it's cooled down a little bit, so it's great. So this over the weekend, we hit a mangrove area down near Gandy, and it was, you know, in Tampa Bay. And it was a great, we had a good trip. Well, at least I did. My buddy didn't catch a fish. I caught quite a few fish, and we were using the same thing, same lure, fishing the same exact areas, you know. So I don't know why I got the fish and he didn't, but he couldn't buy a fish. One of the funny things, we were targeting creek mouths, and they come out of these, you know, these little mangrove creeks. And it's like a little drainage system for the, you know, mangrove forest. And if you've ever been in a mangrove forest, you'll know it's a really, really surreal place. And sometimes these little creeks run through the middle of them. And they'll come through and, you know, kind of drop, you know, kind of drain off into the main body of water there. And it'll put a depression right there at the mouth of that little creek. And a lot of times the fish will wait there on a drop in tide. And, you know, all you get, you know, because bait fish are getting sucked out of the creek there, And all you got to do is kind of wait for them, throw stuff up into the creek and kind of swim it out. Make sure you kind of bump that bottom around there. And I got, you know, two nice flounder out of that. A couple of creeks that we were fishing there. One of them, there was like nothing. I caught the smallest dink trout I've ever seen. I mean, the thing was, he was just a baby. I mean, I was using a 3-inch curly tail, and he was probably 5 inches at the most, man. I mean, he was just a little dink trout. But caught some, you know, legal flounder is 12 inches. So I had some keeper flounder, mangrove snapper. It was either the flounder or the mangrove snapper that were chewing the tails off of my curly tails. I don't know exactly what it was, but you could throw it back in there without a tail on it and just work it kind of erratically, and they would still eat it. So that was kind of cool. We had a good time with that, or at least I did. My buddy probably had a good time watching me catch the fish. But it was a DOA curly tail jig with a red 1/16 ounce Wahoo jig head. That was the ticket. And I switched up the color thinking, well, you know, maybe see if this will work. And it was, you know, the pearl fire tail DOA curly tail worked great. And so did the gold sparkle DOA curly tail. So that was used Miradines. Miradines didn't do anything. And some top water stuff. No dice on the top water. But the what you got to look for in these mangrove shorelines now. I went. Now what I did is I'll tell you this. This is kind of cool. Parked the kayak and it's a drop in tide and went up into the mangrove creek. Waded up the creek there, and it was ankle deep to knee deep, and you know sometimes thigh deep, and it went in there probably about 25 feet inside the mangrove forest. And if you've ever been in one of those mangrove tunnels, you'll know it's a very surreal place. And the thing that I noticed when I was going in there was the water temperature was about 10 degrees cooler than the surrounding water. And the air temperature was about, it felt like I was in air conditioning back there. It was amazing. It was awesome. And I can see why fish hang out there. So it went back about 25 feet and then it teed off and it went, you know, both left and right. And it went pretty far. But so I was just, you know, I picked a direction and started walking it, had my fishing rod with me. And I'm back there walking and I thought I saw, it looked like a log sticking up, and it was about a 30-inch snook decided to take off. So he saw me before I saw him. But it's very spooky. It's very surreal being back there, and you see all of these curved, bowed up branches on the, you know, from the ground, and it looks like a series of like cathedral entrance ways or something like that. It's very, very neat. And they're oyster crusted base, the mangrove prop roots that are sticking down into the water and everything. It is really cool. So mangrove madness, we were blessed with a very nice set of mangrove shoreline to fish. It undulated in and out and kind of went all over the place. It wasn't just a straight shoreline. But what we had was about 6 feet off of the actual water's edge was, you know, kind of sand, mud mixture, no plant life on it or oysters or anything like that. And what you would do is you would cast into that area, and then about 6 feet out from the shoreline itself was a small drop off to about 2 feet, 3 feet. And that's where the fish were. They were in that little trough. And it was cool, man. You just hop that jig right off of that ledge and it would get eaten. And ended up getting some probably about 10 nice mangrove snappers, 2 flounder, 2 ladyfish, and about an 18-inch redfish, all right there on the one lure. So, excuse me. We had a good time. So, fishing mangroves, man. Greg Becker, you're a man that you're kind of in the same area that I am, and that area that you fish over there by you has a lot of mangroves, man. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah? Do you ever you notice anything about mangroves that you should look for?
Nothing different than what you've said. You know, we look for I like to look for areas that look like they're choke points in the mangroves where there are openings back further in, where you might have, you know, you might have some good current flow either in or out through that spot where the fish still have the cover of the mangroves, but it's not right up on the bank. Done pretty well on some nice redfish in those types of areas, in addition to the stuff you talked about.
Yeah. Now, I think it's favorable to find a mangrove edge, you know, the edge of the mangrove, and it has a deep edge to it. If the fish can swim right up to it on a, you know, let's say a medium tide, not a high tide, not a low tide, and actually get back into the mangrove forest, I think that's a good thing. The fish kind of like that, and they like to have that deeper water a little bit closer, you know, to them. But, yeah, definitely pay attention to those little creek areas running out of there. They look, you know, sometimes they're hard to spot. But if you keep your eyes open, you can find them. And nine times out of ten, when you find one of those small little creeks draining out of there, there'll be fish in the little depression at the opening, man. Oysters, man. There's a lot of oyster bars in this area that I was fishing too. And a lot of times on either side, either one side or the other, or both sides, depending on the current side or the non-current bearing side, of that oyster bar, they'll have a depression on those. And a lot of times, if it's up against the shore and there's enough water around it, or in that deep hole, a lot of times there will be a fish in that little depression on one side of that oyster bar or another. So make sure you pay attention to those. But make sure you keep an eye on your leader, because fishing around, I've never seen any oyster bars there where they're not razor sharp. Okay, every oyster bar I've ever been around is razor sharp, and I always say that. Yeah, I was on that oyster bar, man. Them things was razor sharp. That's right, man, because that's how they are. And those things will eat your leaders up, man. You'll fray your leaders. If you get a frayed leader, make sure you either trim it and retie it or replace it. You'll be glad you did, because you'll lose more fish than not by not doing that. So, and your braided line will take a beating on oyster bars too. So definitely pay attention to that stuff. Be careful. If you see any frays on your braided line or your leader, fix it up, and you'll be awesome. All right, let's see here. I haven't been paying attention to the chat room because I've just been jabbering. Chuck, you don't have mangroves over there, but you got anything to add if you're in there, if you're not on mute? You got anything to add about
mangroves?
I have plenty of mangroves
over here, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you got to add on
mangroves?
What do you got to add on mangroves?
You pretty much dialed it in, brother. I don't think I really have much left to say about it.
You ever go back in one of those mangrove creeks, like a little tunnel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my happy place, brother.
Pretty
so
surreal back here, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely a different world, so to speak. There's some areas in the north end of the Mosquito Lagoon that are just full of spots like that. And, I mean, it over here, more so than on your side, it takes kind of a bit of courage to be able to deal with that, because there's a lot of big gators over here that like to go in those same spots. But the fishing back in there can be some of the best fishing you've ever done in your entire life. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you pretty much dialed it in, dude, as far as tactics and stuff. I got nothing more to add other than that.
Greg Crisp, you ever do any mangrove fishing?
No, we don't. We don't have the mangroves up here. So, one of these times when I get down to Florida, I gotta get in there. It looks absolutely awesome, though.
Oh, they are, man. It's really, really weird how, you know, that was. I mean, I've been in mangroves before and stuff like that, but over the weekend it was just noticeable. It was really, really weird. You know how, like, when you walk in the Walmart and you walk in there. It's my favorite store in the world. But you walk in there and that air conditioning blast hits you as you walk in the door, you know? It was almost like that when I walked into that tunnel, because it was like, you know, I'm not kidding you, it was a noticeable difference in not only air temperature but water temperature too. It was really, really odd, you know, that I've just never noticed that thing sort of thing before, you know? Mark Wheeler, you guys, you been in any mangroves before fishing?
The only mangroves I've had the joy of being in was when I had to tinkle at the Mosquito Lagoon boondoggle back when we were in Jacksonville. My Florida fishing experience has been limited to Jacksonville and Mosquito Lagoon, so I'm kind of jaded. but no, I that's one of those things I see it on TV, and it's one of those, you know, bucket list items I have to do is fish the mangroves on both coasts and down the Keys. So,
well, you know, they also say that if you're fishing mangroves and you're not getting hung up in the trees once in a while, you're not getting close enough. I don't know if I necessarily buy into that. Of course, mangrove prop roots, a lot of times they hold a lot of bait fish, and a lot of times there's the game fish are in there chasing them around and stuff. But my buddy Keith, man, he was having all kinds of trouble with getting hit in the trees. And, I mean, he was like 5 feet up off the water hitting the trees, you know. And I'm like, dude, no wonder you're not catching anything, because those fish, they're not up there, man. Oh man, it was you'd hear, you know, whew, you know, the cast, and then oh geez, and then you'd hear like crash, crash, crash through the leaves. You know, it was great. So he'd do that, and then you know, like we'd find a nice creek mouth, get set up, start casting into it, and then like his second cast would go up into the trees, and then he'd have to, you know, pull himself over there and you know, blow the hole out, so to speak, getting untangled. So. He definitely didn't have a very good, day. Not only not catching fish, but doing that sort of stuff. And oh man, fire up the banjos here, because if anybody knows about the Gandy is also known as the Redneck Riviera. Because a lot of people go there, you know, they bring their dogs and drinking beer and big trucks and all that stuff, you know, and also, there's another thing, too. That area is just there's an unbelievable number of derelict boats that are, like, half sunk or all the way sunk. It's really weird. I've never seen that anywhere else before. I know it happens other places with the economy and people, you know, taking off all of their serial numbers and then going out and sinking their boat and things like that, and I understand that. But it's just the sheer numbers of those. You know, I could see one here and there, but man, there was just dozens of them in that area. And it's, you know, it's good and bad. You know, it's creates a lot of new structure right there, but environmentally, I'm sure it's a nightmare.
We got a pile of them over here too, Rob.
Really?
Yeah, tons. Never of them in the Indian River.
Never heard that. But getting back to Gandy. You know, there's a lot of trucks and a lot of, it's like a dirt road beach thing that you drive up and down, and with some mangroves that you know, can get in and out of the water. There's like holes in mangroves that you can get in and out of and such. And it's a pretty rough road. My buddy, he's driving and down the little rough road, you know, 10, 15 miles an hour, and it's just potholes, and it's like the surface of the moon, man. So, he decides, I'm going to go drive up in the grass there, man. So as he's driving in the grass, he wasn't the first person that ever had that idea. So, you know, about the size of your tires, it was about, on one side, it's the Grand Canyon, and the other side is the Death Star Trench. Thank you. Thank you. Had to throw in a Star Wars reference. Yeah.
That's Rob, I am your father.
That's not my father.
Oh, man. So anyway, all of a sudden, we stopped moving. And I'm like, really? And I'm thinking, you know, Keith's a little bit older than me, and I hate being a backseat driver, you know. It's one of my bad habits that I'm trying to get out of. And ever since, I'm really bad at that. And I've really made a conscious effort to get away from that. But anyway, so I didn't say anything, and I was thinking, wow, really? I know this is a truck and everything, but it's not like a truck, you know? It's just an average size, you know, Ford Sport Track, you know? Come on. So, so I check it out, and I'm like, man, I don't think we're going to make it. Well, as soon as I said that, it's like, that's when the wheels came off the ground, and there we are. The frame of the truck is sitting on a big, big old pile of dirt, and we were stuck. That's right. And we had to have somebody come pick us out of that. We had to call AAA, and they sent a guy out, and we actually had to get pulled out. And that was kind of embarrassing, but you'll have that. When you're put your truck, your wheels in the Grand Canyon on one side and the Death Star Trench on the other, your truck can only go up so high before it bottoms out. So it had to wait, you know, an hour for the tow truck guy to get there. And oh man, you're sitting there on Gandy Beach and people are driving by looking at you, and four wheelers are driving by and, you know, kind of waving at people, you know, hey, you know, yeah, oh yeah, we're stuck. That's cool. And they go by, you know, and they're in like a miniature monster truck, you know. It's really a Toyota 4Runner, but it's on those wheels that are like as tall as I am. Yeah. So anyway, it was fun. Good time fishing. Caught some fish. What more could you ask for? Except missing out on the Bucks game. That's cool. Let's see. What else here? Yeah, so that was my... So the Mangrove Madness, man. Make sure you pay attention in the next couple of weeks to the mangroves and mangrove areas, and you'll do good catching some fish there, man. Now, several people here, and I know Chip is one, and I know Chuck is one, and I'm sure Greg Crisp is soon to be one as well. But we're gonna talk a little bit about rigging up your GoPro, man. So anybody that can throw something in there pertaining to that, that would be fantastic. Oh yeah, man, I got a guy here. Sir, you saw our truck stuck on the Gandy, man. What'd you think? That's right, man. So yeah, that's something. So anyway. So GoPros. Anybody's got a GoPro. Chuck, if you're there, are you there? Or are you muted?
I am here, sir.
Awesome. Okay. I'm just not sure. That's why I have to ask.
No problem.
Pirate Darth Vader. Wow, that's awesome. Talk like a pirate. There you go. Lips are chapped. Sorry, Chip.
Say what?
Yeah. Sorry, Chip. Anyway, Chuck, how do you rig your GoPro, man? When you go out and you take that thing and you hit the record button, how do you rig it?
Well, actually, I just prefer to keep it on my head. I'm too ugly to have it point back at me. So, you know, if I get a bird's eye view or a Chuck's eye view, I guess you could say that works out pretty well for me. You know, I don't know, man. I want to get two of them. This way here I can have one pointing at me and one pointing off my head, kind of seeing what I see. I use the helmet strap, and it works pretty good. I don't know if you saw the picture that I put up on Facebook today,
yeah.
But that video that I filmed that right off my head, the way you have yours in your profile picture. So it works pretty good that way. I kind of like that angle. I am with you, though, on the GoPro flat lens as opposed to the fisheye lens. The fisheye lens is cool for some shots, but I prefer that flat lens.
Yeah, me too. And it's my opinion that you need to have at least three. You have to have at least three GoPros in order to make decent fishing videos. One pointing at you from the front. One, either, you know, on your head. I don't like the on your head thing because there's a little bit too much movement. If you guys look at my video there, it's, trust me, it's boring as heck. But it was just basically my first attempt at editing and everything. So I wanted to just kind of throw it out there, kind of play around with it, see if I could actually get the footage on the Mac and actually edit it. They have had a flat lens for a while. Paddling Fan is asking, when did they get a flat lens? I believe that GoPro itself has one. You know, the six screws there around the lens, I believe that you can replace that with a flat lens. I'm not positive. I kind of couldn't determine one way or another whether you could do that. But I know that eyeofmind.com, they have a whole bunch of GoPro accessories. A lot of the stuff they make themselves, which is pretty awesome stuff. But they do have a camera housing with a flat front on it. It's for underwater usage. Apparently, I haven't tried it myself, but the word is that the things get kind of either blurry or nasty looking underwater on a lot of that stuff. So if you put the straight housing on, it's supposed to sort out all of those issues. And they're good down to 200 feet. I have mine pressure tests them and everything. So and they're pretty cheap. They're cheap as in GoPro stuff is $80 for straight housing, as opposed to the fisheye lens one. So, check them out. But, yeah, I agree with you, Chuck. Some of the fisheye lens stuff is kind of cool looking, but other stuff is I could kind of do without it. So I'm saving some lunch money and see if I can actually grab one of those and give it a test run. But as I was saying, some of the in order to make really cool fishing videos, you need to have about three of those GoPros. One shooting over your shoulder, one facing towards you, you know, mounted from the front, and then, you know, a rover where you can, like, stick it in the water or do whatever with it. Because it's kind of lame having it just on your head, you know, just from your point of view, you know, for the whole entire video. You know, it would be kind of cool to have, you know, different perspectives to choose from while making a video. And what's that?
That's the magic of editing.
Yes, I know. But you realize how much
of editing, you can do the underwater shots as well. That's how I did my that one little crappy first video I did. I got plenty of underwater shots of redfish and my point of view shots as well.
Hmm.
On camera.
Yeah, that's yeah, it'd be, you know, that would help, Paddling Fan. If someone else shot the video while you bring in the fish, absolutely. That would be awesome. But I don't really always have that luxury. I kind of, sometimes my fishing buddy is kind of technically challenged. And that's okay. Everybody's not, I'm not a technical wizard myself, so I'm kind of technically challenged as well. But that being said, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to do it yourself. Just have it on your, you know, mounted on your kayak. Yak Attack makes some their new what's it called, panfish mounts and stuff, which is great for that sort of thing. So that's what I'm trying to achieve that, you know, so I can go out there and actually shoot stuff like that by myself without having to rely on anybody to do it. And that's what. To me, that's what makes it a lot of fun, is doing it myself. All right, we got another caller here. Area code 757, you're on the air.
Yo, Rob, it's Kaya Kevin.
Hey, how are you, man?
Doing all right. GoPro mounts. What I used to do with mine was, you know that the latch that comes down on the back? Got a
yeah,
little lip
yeah.
right there?
Uh-huh.
I would take athletic tape and double it up, put it on there, and I would hold that with my teeth.
Ah, okay.
So you kind of get a head shot, right? You kind of get ahead, but when the fish is up next to you, you can quickly just, like, throw it down, you know, bring it down right into the fish to get a kind of real up-close shot of the fish or even underwater, and then bring it up to your mouth again and land the fish.
Yeah.
That's what I used
to do. One thing, you know, I noticed over the weekend, I got about 2 hours of footage over the weekend, and it was like, one thing I didn't notice, and it was kind of make it kind of like, wow, you know, there's 2.5 hours down the toilet. It was kind of, I had it on my head, you know, and it was kind of pointed up a little bit too much. So there's 2.5 hours of, you know, mangrove shoreline and sky. You know, it's great.
Oh, look, so, a bird.
Yeah, yeah, look at that. Oh, wow, I never noticed the St. Pete skyline like that. Wow, that's awesome. And it's, look at it, it's crystal clear. Wow. No, that's the one thing, you know, and like I said, you can do all kinds of stuff with those things, but it gets kind of boring, you know, and a couple of people were telling me about my first video there was that, you know, it was kind of like, wow, I'm getting like motion sickness watching that, you know, that's great, you know, which is like, if you ever saw, what was that one movie? It was all shot on, little handheld stuff, and they were running around the whole time, and it was all like point of view movie.
All of my footage will do that to you.
Yeah, but at least it's not like, you know, constantly like that. I mean, you have some straight shots in your stuff too,
where you
have it mounted or something, you know. And if you're in, you know, 5 foot waves and stuff, well, that's one thing. But
it's good to have a real secure mount to your boat. So when the whole world in camera is moving, at least you're stationary and the boat's stationary. You know, if you get a lot of shake right there, that's where it really throws you off.
Yeah, the image stability on that stuff on the GoPros I found is actually pretty good, but you know, you just don't realize how much your head moves, you know, when you got the camera mounted to it, you know.
Do you have one with the regular screen, the non fisheye wide angle lens?
No, I don't. That's what one thing about
that is the fisheye lens, the wide angle lens, cuts down on a lot of shake. Even because, you know, it's wider and your edges are softer. Without that, you're going to get a lot more shake and it's not going to be so soft around the edges. Where I can explain that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I've kind of, you know, I like some of the fisheye stuff, but I just don't, you know, I don't want it on the whole thing, you know. That's what I was kind of, you know, trying to get a little bit of an option, you know. Maybe if you had a couple of cameras, one of them could have it, and maybe a couple of the other ones don't, you know. I don't know. But
that's exactly it. The more cameras and the more different, you know, because I have two different lenses on my cameras. I have one that's a 0.6 and then 1.7. It's not much, but it's actually, you notice it when you put it on the bow, one's a little closer, one's a little bit further back. You know, it gives that the wider angle. And I use the ones that are wider for the bow to get more of a shot, and then the ones a little bit tighter on the stern.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the more different stuff you can get, the more different angles, the more different shots. So, you know, just, you know, experiment when you're out there, put stuff underwater and all that stuff. Just never, you know, anybody you always see these online is that the camera goes sideways. Never do that.
No. I have seen you know, some of the eyeofmine.com, which, you know, they make a lot of their own GoPro gear, you know, is really cool stuff. And they do make some flat underwater housings and things of that nature. They have what they call an iFi, which is it's a SIM card that broadcasts wirelessly to, say, you know, a laptop or whatever. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think you were mentioning that not last week, or somebody was. I remember one of you guys talking about that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's real
cool. You know, because the thing about there's pros and cons with GoPro that I found, you know. The definition on it is fantastic. You know, it's very HD, very crisp, very sharp. There is not any sort of an LCD screen on the back of it so you can see what you're shooting. Now, they do make one that is, you can attach an LCD screen to the back of it so you can see it. And that's kind of cool.
It's not in the housing. It's not in the housing, is it?
Yeah, you can. They did make an LCD, what they call a backpack, on it. And it's inside the housing. I'm not positive if they make a housing with the LED screen to be able to fit inside of it. But
the back piece, because I just bought mine, the back piece, actually, you, that little hinge, you pop the old one off, the smaller one,
right,
and you added a whole new one. And actually, they make now what's called a floaty, which is a foam back to it. So when you're out there on the water, I that's just why I'm replacing, because my other camera is in the drink somewhere on Lake Smith.
The floaty back were on it.
Yeah, and I tested it the other day, and it floats. And it's not some that float, neutral. So as far as it goes down, and then it'll stay like a foot underneath the water. This thing popped up. It was, I could see it for a mile because it's bright orange. It's definitely very cool.
And I know the paddling fan in there has a GoPro or two, and she's been making some cool videos there. So definitely, Jerry, hopefully you make those available, like either on Facebook or on your website when you get that up and running, because they look kind of cool. Some underwater shots and stuff. And Mark,
y'all got the water for the underwater stuff down there.
Oh yeah, down in the Keys especially, man. But down here it's hit or miss. Mark, did you get a GoPro?
Yes, I did.
Really? Did you
get
the? Did you get the Hero? Oh, did you? Cool.
Yeah, I bought them naked.
Yeah, me too.
Which is, $260. Bought one. Yeah, I was able to get one LCD backpack. A couple of their things for the stick-on mounts. And those stick-on mounts, I've actually had them mounted all over my kayak now. And I put two actually on my stakeout pole. One on the side so I could mount it right on the edge and actually hold out the camera with my stakeout pole or pin it underneath my leg. So you've got like a side view. And then one on top so that way if I can stick it in the mud, paddle out, kind of stay within frame. And so I've got, like someone else is sitting there. View. One on the slider. One on another pole for behind video. But, yeah, I kind of went a little crazy.
Do you have anything to
edit
with?
No, but that's cool, going all those different angles and different heights. I mean, like Rob Choi's video, he put it on way on the pole, but that one video he did where he turns it on and it goes up. It's just, it's a cool perspective, the whole thing. It's really cool stuff, all these different angles.
Yeah.
I was also, I thought it would be kind of a cool idea to, in an inexpensive way to get some aerial shots, possibly, is to either get some helium balloons if it's not too windy, or maybe a kite or something, and just hook
and
it up to
a BB gun.
Yeah, BB gun, there you go. No, and actually, hook it up with some, 50-pound test or something, get some, 50, 100 feet in the air shots, just make sure you put
cool. That would be cool. That would be cool.
Why not? Seriously, it's, they do it all the, GoPro only weighs like, 5 ounces, I believe? And you can get...
And having it just attached to your back of your boat and just, while you're
paddle around.
That's cool, dude. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've seen things where you can actually make a mount out of like a piece of styrofoam, and you take the styrofoam and you cut a hole in the middle of it for the GoPro to fit in, so it's pointing straight down, and then you hook up the balloons to each corner of that rectangle of styrofoam, and then you just put enough balloons on it to make it so it'll float. But definitely put a Make sure that you put a floaty on it, or some sort of a floaty back door, or some sort of something, because those GoPros don't float. But Wheeler, do you have anything to edit it on?
That's my next purchase, is good editing software. I'm using the one that came with my laptop, and it has it's one of those things where I plug it in at night, go to bed, wake up in the morning, it's 3/4 of the way done, go to work, come back, and then it's finally loaded.
Well, I find that on mine, if I'm shooting in HD, it takes about 30 minutes. If I got 30 minutes of footage, let's say, it takes 30 minutes to download that, and I have a Mac. So I would strongly recommend – for this sort of thing, this sort of endeavor, is you can get a mini Mac for about $650. Well, about $600 out the door, with four megs of RAM and 500 gig hard drive. And let me tell you, it is badder than bad. I'm amazed at how much stuff that this little thing can do. And it's great. And I was editing on iMovie, and it's actually really, really easy program to use. I'm pretty sure Rob Choi edits with that too. So I'd recommend either one of those to anybody. So and you're editing on a laptop, Mark? Man, does it do it?
It does it. That's why I said I'm working on it right now. In truck perspective, and then I had the opportunity. I had this beautiful wood duck by the boat ramp, and was able to take the GoPro and get on the kayak and lay on my belly and kind of use the kayak like a surfboard and kind of slid out towards them, stuck the stakeout pole in, and let the wind kind of push them towards me. And I got a couple really, really, really nice pictures. With
cool.
the GoPro, and they look beautiful on the laptop, so all blown up and that and fancy. But that LCD.
Oh yeah, were
sure
you
I
using
had,
it
you
know, as
a picture?
Like using it as?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you were just using it as a camera.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So.
Now you know how to make time lapse videos with that yet?
I'm just. Man, I am just delving into
it's a whole
what
new
this
world,
thing can do.
Man. I know it.
And it's been something I've been talking about doing for over a year now, buying one of these GoPros, and I finally, bit the bullet. And my wife goes, well, if you buy one and it's over your shoulder, won't you want to have one, like, looking at you, and you don't have to deal with that, and you don't have to drop it in? And I was like, you have a great point.
Thinking, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd say, I need about four of them.
Yep.
And then I drop I did the slick thing, and I did the, you know what? If I get this, I'm going to have to buy a whole bunch of new bait so I can get some great photos of catching the fish. And right then and there, she's like, hey, now you're just pushing your luck.
Yeah. No, Kevin, when you go out shooting, like, how many camera rigs do you put on your kayak at a time? I mean, you use, like, probably two, like, at least two, right?
At least two, and I have enough cameras. I have six cameras to put on three boats. So when three of us go out, each one of us has two cameras on board.
Wow.
Now,
see that?
The deal is, if you catch a fish, I got to pull my camera and film you. If I catch a fish, you got to pull your camera, your stern camera, and film me. So you got three angles. Yeah.
And then you just, God, that's got to be, it probably takes a week to download. Well, let's see, I got about 8 hours of footage to download.
Yeah, no, with six cameras, after a couple of days of fishing and filming, I have 170 hours to go through. But the thing is, I can cut it on the cameras.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
yeah.
So you can pick and choose what you want to keep on it?
Yeah,
just
I
from
go
the camera?
Through and I go through and I grab each fight and, erase the hour before that and then keep on going.
Yeah.
That takes an entire day to do six cameras. It's 170 hours.
Oh, my God.
I end up having to go through. Yeah. It's not, 170 hours on cameras. It takes me about, a good 12-hour day to do it.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can imagine. Now, the cool option with this, with the GoPro is, right, as I take the SIM card out and I put it right in the Mac, right, and it automatically shows me all of the thumbnails in five-second clips, right?
Yeah.
So if I got 2 hours worth of footage, before I even download anything, it's going to show me on iMovie, it's going to show me all of those thumbnails, 2 hours worth of footage in five-second clips, or five-second thumbnails,
You can't change that to like a minute each?
Yes, I can, but you can change it to 30 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever. But you can pick and choose which ones you want. You don't have to download the whole thing, So you can just go through it and pick which ones you want, which I think is a great option because you don't have to.
Completely necessary when you got like that much time to be able to. Because you can't upload that crap and then go through and cut it. It's just you're burning so much space on your computer and all that stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. These files are so huge, especially in 1080p.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it just absolutely eats up everything. And you're
I got a whole separate computer for editing. I got a four quad core computer.
Awesome.
And it was,
yeah,
like a, it was like a low-end gaming computer, and that was what I was. So what you should look for if you're doing a lot of HD stuff is a gaming computer, and then buy a separate drive, like a terabyte drive to hold all the stuff.
Yes.
Yeah,
I can get I can get a 2 terabyte external hard drive for this for like maybe $90, I think.
Oh, that's
which
awesome.
Isn't,
yeah.
I know. So that's what I'm, you know, for me, Mac is like, and I haven't had any problems with it as far as like getting hung up or anything, you know, with, I noticed with Windows stuff, a lot of times, especially with like video editing or any sort of music software or anything like that, is it's definitely not the animal to do it on. And a Mac is more made towards, you know, it's more focused towards that sort of thing, you know, multimedia and the arts and things like that. So I definitely would recommend that to anybody. Now, everybody goes, oh, wow, Macs are so expensive and everything. And they are. They are. I mean, if you get a huge Mac, you know, one of the towers, I mean, that's going to set you back like, you know, $3,000 right there. And it's going to be an awesome machine, but I don't know anybody that can, you know, pony up $3,000 just to edit videos, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you're like George Lucas,
well,
or something.
I should have, because I'm just using Windows, and it's terrible. I mean, I crash out multiple times a day, where I have to reset the, you know, restart the computer over again. But really, I mean, I don't lose anything and nothing like that, but it takes forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
if I
do one little time, you know, slow mo change, it's like 2 minutes before that is rendered, and you know, yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Forever.
It's, yeah, I recommend Mac for any sort of, like, edit video or music editing. You know, a lot of, like, you know this from music stuff. A lot of, like, nice studios and stuff, they're all using Pro Tools on Macs, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't have any problems with crashing it or anything like that. Have had a couple of issues with GarageBand where all of a sudden it'll, you know, you'll be working on a project, and all of a sudden it, like, oh, well, GarageBand had to quit unexpectedly for some reason, you know. It's only happened a couple of times, but
yeah.
I haven't had any of that.
That happens daily to me. That's it. That happens daily to me.
That's all right.
Daily. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. So we're going to go through the line here and see who all's fishing. Chuck, are you fishing? You're fishing this week, right?
Yes, sir. Fishing the.
That's right. You're fishing the tournament.
Yep. Paddle Classic down in Melbourne, Florida. Hoping to represent Kayak Fishing Radio as best I can. Hopefully bring home something. Big trout, big redfish, big something. That'd be awesome. And then I am going to hit the ditches throughout the week trying to find some more tarpon. I've got this bad bug called tarpon fever. It's pretty bad. And, yeah, be working on that.
Cool. Awesome. Great. Greg Crisp, are you fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm gonna get out this weekend, several days. I'm gonna try to take Thursday and Friday off and do some fishing. And then even it looks like I'm gonna get out tomorrow night as well. So should be a good fishing
deal.
Weekend. It's late
that
in the season and. Awesome. In a little over a month, the water's going to be frozen here, so
have to get it in
while it still moves.
You guys will be fishing or ice fishing by Thanksgiving, right?
Last year we were.
I'm kidding.
So.
Oh man.
I'm not.
No thanks. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. Ice fishing is awesome. I used to do it, but I don't know if I could do it now being in Florida for 25 years. All right, Mark Wheeler, are you fishing this weekend?
Does a bear poop in the woods?
I don't know.
we had one pooping off of 19th Street here in Virginia Beach a couple months back, but that's an old story.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That wasn't in the woods,
but,
was it?
No. That was in... as they call it, Beach City USA, right on the oceanfront. But anyway,
nice.
The TKA tournament this weekend, so Friday night is the captain's meeting, and then right at sunlight, plan on having my line in, trying to get the win the bass division. So
awesome.
hoping.
Well, good luck to you, man.
Hoping Sunday I'll have I'll be paddling around a new kayak, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. That's not a bad idea. Well, good luck to you, man. So Chuck and the landing crew are both in tournaments, man. Kevin, I know you're fishing this weekend. What's going on there?
Yep.
What are you looking for?
Fishing the tournament. Fishing the TKAA tournament.
Oh, man. What the heck? Everybody but me is fishing a tournament this weekend.
It's a big one, man. It's a big one. You need to come up to it.
I just want to go out and, like, hang out at one. I don't want to fish in one. I just want to go hang out and watch everybody, you know? Videotape
and,
everybody.
Dude, the raffles are insane at this tournament. It's crazy.
Really?
You don't win anything. You walk out of there with something.
I think they start raffling stuff off at, like, 5 o'clock. They don't finish till, like, 10, 11 o'clock at night. If they're lucky.
And they're moving through them. They're not, like just kind of swaying through it. They're, like, trying to move their stuff off the tables, man, and it takes forever.
Well, that's awesome. Are you saltwater in or freshwater in it?
Saltwater.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know nothing about this. Sweetwater stuff, man. I caught that first on Facebook. That's my first bass I ever caught was a couple months ago, and that's the only one I've ever caught. So no, I'm not messing with those freshwater.
See, I'm like the opposite. I went from freshwater to saltwater, you know, and it's there's some similarities there, man. I gotta say, but
it's
everything to me goes back to bass fishing, you know. You're fishing for redfish, it's bass fishing, you know.
Yeah, same thing. Any inshore stuff is the same deal. You know?
Yeah. It's fun, man.
Yep.
Well, good luck to you, man, and I hope you guys do well and win some stuff, and I want to see all your pictures, man. So
will do.
All right, I'm out of here. I am your host. I'm a Bad Batcast, and Rob DeVore, and thank you guys so much for coming in and talking about all of this stuff. That's right. And thanks to everybody for listening, everybody in the chat room. And thanks, Chuck, for calling. And Chip, I know that you're there somewhere. Are you still there listening? And I hope you
I'm
all
here,
have
man.
Good. How you doing, man? You okay?
Good. I've been
you
listening.
Fishing?
Yeah.
All
just
right.
Listening.
Awesome.
So. All right, man. We'll see you next time.
Okay. And I am your host, a Bad Batcast, Rob DeVore. And check out my blog. It is badbatcast.com. And also yakangler.com. Get on in there. And if you're not a member, you should be if you like kayak fishing. And make sure you check out Mark Wheeler's show tomorrow, the Mid-Atlantic show. And he's going to have Luther on there from Yak Attack. And and I am still trying to find my outro music, and I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Okay. And anyway.
Check out kayakkevin.com before the trapper season hits.
Yep, this is true. Kayakkevin.com. Make sure you look for his new video coming out on – should be November, I believe he said – Fishing Chesapeake Bay Part 2, which is going to be awesome. Which is, you know, the trailers look awesome for it. So definitely check that out if you're interested in kayak fishing. Definitely want to watch those. And D. Kelly just messaged me on Facebook and said, sorry, can't log in. Tell everybody I said hi. And next time I will call in. So, all right, D. Kelly. I look forward to hearing from you, and let me know when you're here next time, and we'll get together and go fishing. Oh, man, D. Kelly's a Hobie chick. A lot of Hobie people in the house, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. So anyway, I'm out of here, and everybody have a nice week. Listen to the Landing Crew tomorrow, Chip on Thursday, Spike and Ike on Friday. Right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. And that's it. I'm out. And you guys take care. Tight lines, wear your PFD, take a kid fishing. Later.